It is Locked On Jazz for the 26th of November. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. I'm going to go big picture on two items to start the show, then look back at the Lakers and Kings game, and hopefully have you wrapped up on where the Jazz stand. That's the plan, because this is Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. I hope you're great. Crazy uncle, pain in the butt mom, whatever family dynamic that just drives you crazy didn't cause too many problems this weekend, and that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving with the people you love and spend time with. That's my hope. I'm David Locke, the radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, and geeky numbers about the Jazz on a daily basis, about 30 minutes every single time. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You can tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Thanks for tuning in. So the Jazz split this weekend looked a lot better in a lot of regards, and we're going to get to it. I want to open with a big picture item or two that I think is relevant to looking and evaluating the league this year. And then we'll get to the Lakers game, and then we'll get to the Kings game. I have an hour and a half of stuff, and then we'll play again tonight. We're home for 30. We landed at midnight, so we're home for literally 36 hours on this stretch. That win last night was so needed. Oh, my gosh. So that's the bigger picture. We're just surviving. This is a 12-game road trip with two stops at home, and as I said before, I will complain about it the whole time. I've never experienced anything like it. It's brutal. But it's what we got to do. And then it will pay off because we're home for a tremendous amount of time in late December. And then we're home for a tremendous amount of time in January. Like from January 8th to something like March 4th, we play about 5 road games. So it'll be good. If the ski season's good, it'll be great. All right, here's the big picture thought I have about what's going on in the league right now. And I've talked about this a lot this year, so this is a little bit of a different kind of take on the same concept. That is that the league is closer together than ever before. That there are really almost no bad teams. Atlanta and Chicago are not very good. But even when we're talking about Chicago not being very good, and they don't seem to be, you're still talking about a team that's got Zach LaVine, who's a top pick. When Lauri Markkanen comes back, you've got a top 10 pick. Wendell Carter's a top 10 pick. I mean, they're 5-15, and they seem to be the team that you'd like to have on your schedule right now. But they're not terrible. Even that, right? So, I mean, I guess this is the point. Like, this has become a not very good team. So, and it has Zach LaVine, who is pretty good. Jabari Parker, who's a top 2 pick. Chris Dunn is their point guard, who's like a top 8 pick. And Wendell Carter, who's a top 10 pick on their roster. Now, we'll see over time. But, you know, that's what we're now calling a bad team. And Atlanta's not very good. And Cleveland's not very good. So there's about 3 teams in the league that really aren't great. And the Knicks aren't great either. But they're winning enough. And even the Knicks, who we say aren't good, are loaded with top picks. Top picks are talented players. Like, they didn't miss how talented they are. So what I think the impact of this is that the slightest change, whether it's travel schedule, a little nick in the injury, 3-10 in depth, things of that nature, long-term injury, the slightest, subtlest change is having a bigger impact than it used to. And what my guess is, and I don't know how to prove this, and maybe somebody out there has access to it and is smart enough, is that in the years past, when you were playing a ridiculous road schedule or heavy schedule like the Jazz have, where they've played one game against a team that's now below 500, and that's Minnesota, and they're pretty damn good. Or when you're playing, you know, a bunch of really good teams in a row, or doing what Memphis is doing right now, which is Memphis just hasn't played the same, doesn't look brutal until you kind of dig in, that they haven't played in the same city two games in a row and actually only are popping out for like single road games all the time, which just kind of adds to it. It's just like all these extra flights. So when something like that, and they've suddenly lost two in a row, Portland goes and plays a six-game road trip over multiple time zones and then comes back and loses to the Clippers. My thought is that these influences used to change the spread, now changes the outcome. So where Portland maybe comes back home on the first game of a long road trip and used to be a 7-point favorite and now wins the game by three and doesn't cover, or just, you know, muddles through the game a little bit, now they're a 3-point favorite and they lose. Now, I'm sure that there's some statistical model that shows that the stuff I'm talking about has, on average, a lower point impact than we think. Like, there'll probably be some model out there that shows that the things I'm talking about have a, on Vegas, have a 1 or 2 point impact on average. But on average means that half the time, you know, it's some of the time it has, not half the time, but some of the time it has a 4 or 5 point impact. Either way, you know, a team overcomes it, or you happen to have that good shooting night despite that, or whatever it might be. But that's my take right now, that when you look at what's going on in the league and you're having, you're not having mysterious outcomes, but you just have, you know, Detroit's 10-7, Indiana's 11-8, Orlando's 10-10, Boston's 10-10, Charlotte's 9-10, Brooklyn's 8-13. The West, you've just got a bunch of teams that are all clogged up. I mean, the Jazz are 9-11 and in 14th in the Western Conference right now out of 15 teams. Now, sure, they would be probably, you know, they've beat the crap out of Boston twice and they're probably better than Orlando. And so we would probably be fourth or fifth in the East, and we're 14th in the West, which sucks. But I think that's the impact. The other one that I hear a lot is that, oh, well, we lost to so-and-so without their best player, or they won with, for a game, you can do that. Maybe for two. Maybe not. What Indiana, let's go, Indiana's dealing with right now, we'll see if the Jazz can get them tonight, kind of matches to that. You go a game without your star, everyone's kind of jazzed, indirectly jazzed about it. They all get, you know, 20 looks are available. They all move the ball. Everyone's ready for it. They feel pretty good about it. They all step up, play well, and then the burden of that for the upcoming games suddenly becomes more than you can handle. Now, all of a sudden, you're playing 35 minutes instead of 27, and you're having a bigger burden, and it begins to fall in on you a little. And your defense slips, and your offense slips, and everything slips. That's my feeling. And Indiana beat the crap out of the Jazz without Victor. Now they've suddenly lost two in a row without Victor. They come in here, they're going a four-game road swing where they're not expected to have Victor, and I think you begin to, that's when you begin to see the impact that they're missing Victor. Now, they also were missing Miles Turner, and Sabonis sprained an ankle, so they were pretty thin by the end of that Spurs game on the 23rd. They then had a bunch of days off, and now they'll come here, play Utah, Phoenix, Lakers, Sacramento. It'll be interesting to see, if they really don't have Victor, how they play that four-game swing. But, it, you know, it's that's my double take here, is that, one, the depth of the league means that the slightest alteration to your schedule means that I think outcomes are being changed instead of just spreads. And two, single games without stars is doable. Stretches without stars are not doable. All right, we'll break down the Lakers game and the Kings game and what we did in those and what they tell us about where the Jazz stand at 9-11. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy out in Woods Cross. It's that time of year where the Suburban, the trucks, some great deals on those, some benefits for you to go do Go make your purchases on those if you know how that works. I think a lot of you company people do. And Murdoch Chevy is the place for you in Woods Cross, also in Logan. The Murdochs are going to control everything they can for you, extending the hours to make sure that you can work. Murdoch Chevy is open till 9 o'clock at night. Why? Because if they close in regular hours, it's not convenient to you. The parts department's open until 7:30 at night. Why? Because that works for you in your life with your work and everything you have to do. That's how they structure it. They also give you car washes for life, oil changes for life, five-day price match guarantee, and the return policy. Five-day price match guarantee and the five-day return policy. The Chevy lineup's incredible. You got the Suburban, the Tahoe, there's signatures. I'm driving the Equinox right now. It's been super. It's a great SUV. It's quiet. They're so well made. The interface is well done. All of those aspects that tell you the details are into it. The Traverse, it's got the third row of seats and every bell and whistle you could imagine in the Chevy lineup for you. So that is all at Murdoch Chevy out in Woods Cross, 0% APR financing for qualified buyers on 18 and 19 models as part of the whole Black Friday early holiday event. That's at Murdoch Chevy. Today's show is also brought to you by Mazuma USA. Mazuma USA, if you're a small business owner with 1 to 5 people, then you are losing time or money if you're not using Mazuma USA. Anthony Irwin, who's the host of Locked On Lakers, is using Mazuma USA. I was talking to him the other day. Loves it. It's just been incredible for him, right? So he's got a few writers that help him with stuff. He's got a bunch of different jobs in different places. He's got things moving. You know, similar if you're a real estate agent, you've got this person that's helping you, that person, you're a salesperson, you got this person that's helping you. You're your own small business into yourself. You don't want to deal with your bookkeeping. You don't want to do the taxes. So the way it works, Anthony was telling me, is that, you know, literally what I've said is he set up the meeting. He got assigned a CPA and a bookkeeper. They immediately gave him a report. Every quarter he gets a tax call. And every month he's getting a report on all of his numbers. Then by the end of the year, all the taxes are taken care of. There's no contract. You can cancel anytime, and there's no hidden fees. 801-980-2102. That's 801-980-2102. The promo code is locked. It's $75 a month to get this whole thing started with Mazuma USA. All right, let's go to the Lakers game. There were so many good things that happened out of the Lakers game, and it was so great that it came together and worked for the Jazz against Sacramento. Primarily, is the Jazz had a great defensive night. In fact, the Jazz had their best defensive game of the season against the Lakers. And what is encouraging, despite the struggles this year, are the amount of nights in which the Jazz have been right defensively. So, and some of them are interesting. Like on this whole fatigue issue that we're talking about, like you don't want to build it up too much, but Jazz got 2 days off and played at home and had a great defensive game against Memphis. First game of a road trip, nothing crazy was scheduled. Had a great defensive game against Houston. 2 days off road game against the Pelicans, had a great defensive game. Dallas had a great defensive game, played a back-to-back, or then went back to Minnesota for the fourth game of road trip, were crappy. First game back were crappy. Back-to-back in Denver were actually pretty good. Then came back for another game back, so now it's just started to get stupid, and they were bad. Got a day off at home, played the Dallas Mavericks, were good defensively. Then had a bad night against Boston defensively, but won. Went back out on the road, had a great game defensively, then blew up in Dallas, got moderate rest for a day, were okay in Philly, great in Boston, terrible against Indiana on the fifth game of road trip, and terrible in the first game back from a long road trip. Like, actually, you start to look at the performances, and they kind of line up with the whole travel thing. Then the Lakers, which really I thought the Jazz kind of gained some fresh juice on this last little sequence, and I'm not sure how, but they were great against the Lakers defensively and really good last night, and better, frankly, than the numbers show because of the way the game tilted late. But against the Lakers, most importantly, the Jazz had a defensive rating of an 85. They held the Lakers. Lakers had a bad shooting night. Lakers and the Jazz took advantage of it, and the Jazz defense was really good. They kept the Lakers out of transition. More importantly, when they had them in transition, they defended the transition. The Jazz have actually done a good job all season long of keeping teams out of transition, but they were getting mismatched. They weren't communicating. They were getting beat after the transition was stopped in early half-court offense, and so suddenly they weren't as good. And when they weren't, and then they didn't get someone out of transition, they were miserable defending it. And the last few nights, you've seen a big change in that. And that's been the biggest change, is not only the effort to get back defensively, but to communicate and talk. That's what Rudy talked about in the postgame show last night. And that showed in the Lakers game. We left L.A. That was really encouraging. When we left to go to L.A., the concern that I had, and Ron and I voiced it after the Sacramento game on the postgame show, was that the league has gotten so fast in pace of play, and I wrote this in Empty the Noggin, that the Jazz weren't athletic enough to get back defensively, slow down transition, and in turn weren't capable of defending anymore. That was really the legitimate scary concern for me. And then when I dug in it a little bit more and you looked at who the Jazz had been good defensively against, it was all slow pace of play teams. And the fast pace of play teams had caused the Jazz some great difficulty. So the Lakers were interesting because the Lakers were the fourth highest pace of play team in the NBA. But in the previous 5 to 10 games, they had slowed down a good deal. And the Jazz were able to stymie them in their transition, force them into the half court, and then the Jazz defense could have its impact on the game in an impressive fashion. Now, the problem, the problem was the Jazz couldn't shoot it all that night. And frankly, like, we're not a great shooting team. The model of this team is kind of built on a bunch of average shooters having an average night. You know, we have Joe Ingles, who's a 40% 3-point shooter, and then we don't have another guy that's a 40% 3-point shooter. So you just don't have enough shots coming from high percentage guys that make you feel as though everything's going to go in. And you get these brutal, brutal, brutal shooting nights. And it's too bad. And that's what happened in LA. Because it cost us a game. Donovan went out. The offense got stagnant late. The Jazz went 2 of 19 on above the break threes. Like, we're 32% on above the break threes, which is low. We're one of the least good shooting teams in the league on above the break threes. Last night, we shot 33% from three. We can survive at 33% from three. In fact, when we're 33% from three, I think we're about 6-4. And when we're below that, we're 3-7. So, like, it's a low standard for us to survive, which is 33% from three. The problem is it's right on our average, so half the time we're below it. And we've just got to avoid the 20% shooting nights. I mean, that's the killer. Is when you go 10 of 33, which is our average night, like last night, we can win a lot of those games. The defense plays, you keep people out of transition, get them into half court. We command a presence at the rim. The offensive structure gets us good shots, and we're okay. When you go 4 of 22, you're not winning. I mean, it's just not complicated. You don't have a chance. And we're obviously going 4 of 22 too often and need to deal with that. But that's what happened against the Lakers, is that we just couldn't shoot again. And the amount of guys that we have, they're in a slump. And then the amount of guys that we had against the Lakers that were unwilling to shoot. I mean, bypassing looks. And I got it. You know, Jay Crowder's shooting 21% from three over the last 10. And Ricky Rubio's struggling. And they're not confident about their shot. But if we're at 7 in the shot clock and the ball's moved around the outside and you're open, I think you, even with your struggle, you either got to let it fly or let it, or, you know, get to the rim. To me, that's, if not, it's pretty hard for this team to survive. if you look at our rim shooting, this is why we don't – the structure of the offense that Quinn has built, it's why we're number one in the league in shot quality. We're number three in the league in open three-point looks. I mean, the offense is brilliant. But if you look at our shot quality, this is why we can survive this, is because of the fact that the looks we're getting. We took 37 shots at the rim against the Lakers and 42 shots at the rim against the Kings. That's incredible. We've increased our mid-range game a tiny bit recently to try to, I think, the emphasis on threes had a feeling that was getting guys to, you know, there's a value to seeing the ball go through the rim or down the net. I would rather have us shoot more threes, but I get it. But when you're 26th in the league from the corner and 25th from the league from the top, then you know what? You feel like you gotta pick that up a little bit. So that the Laker game I thought was positive, and then the greatest player in the world just took over and won the game. But overall, to me, that was a great sign. And then it comes together in Sacramento with a lineup change and some rotation changes. We'll touch on that when we continue. Today's show is brought to you by Grip6.com, and you can go to Grip6.com/lock. Now, they were really classy the other day because Grip6.com/lock, they wanted to make sure that you didn't miss out on the Black Friday. And if you go to Grip6.com/lock, it told you, hey, there's a better deal for you, and there is today as well. It's Cyber Monday, Cyber 30. So we're in the middle of our Black Friday sale. Click here for a better deal, it says. But if you go to Grip6.com, they will let you know what the various deals are. So the Classic Pack, which is $89, is 33% off if you want to buy. It's a great gift for someone. The coolest part is you can get individual belts, buckles, and straps. So you could buy someone a strap, multiple buckles. You can get them a combination of multiple straps, multiple buckles, because the cool thing about Grip 6 is it's all interchangeable. Plus, at Grip 6, if you haven't used the belt before, they last forever, and they don't have the holes, they don't have the flaps, they don't have all the things that are annoying about belts. Your waistline changes a little bit during the holidays. They still fit just as well. You just change a little. It just hooks in nicely, patented system. It's all good. These are fabulous. Ever since I started using Grip 6, I've not worn anything else. The belt strap just slips in underneath. You can custom fit it to you. And the guys that are a little heavy have told me that Grip 6 works terrifically for them because of the fact that they don't get kind of some of the cutting into their midsection. Check it out. Grip6.com/lock. That's Grip6.com/lock. All right, Jazz and the Kings. A bunch of storylines to this one. Jay Crowder starts because the Jazz starters had really struggled against Sacramento. I think they were minus 24 in 10 minutes. And overall, that group had begun to struggle. Against the Lakers, they were minus 8 in 9 minutes. Against Sacramento, they were minus 10 in 8 minutes. Against the Pacers, they were even in just 9 minutes. Against Boston, they were outscored by 5 points to open the first, came back in the third to be plus 2. Against Philadelphia, the starters were minus 13 in 7 minutes. It's becoming more and more clear that there are matchups and nights in which the Jazz are going to have to play and start using 6 starters. Or nights where Favors matchup is the right one, and there are matchups where Jay's is the right one. And that became clear last night. What's interesting last night about what Quinn did is they still played 7 minutes together. They'd played 10 the night before. They'd played 8, 9, 9. You're still probably going to play Favors and Gobert a few minutes together during the night. They were even last night. They weren't particularly good defensively. They were pretty good offensively. It was 17 all in the time they were on the floor together, I think, last night as a or 25 all in the time they're on the floor together in just 8 minutes last night. So it's almost, I think, you start to view it the way Toronto does with 6 starters. It's find your matchups. The league is going in a certain direction. The key was how great Derek was when he was on the floor. And Derek was great last night. Assists, defensive presence, and then to the you know, to Derek's engagement level, the coaching staff seemed to engage Derek at a higher level last night, too. I thought that was part of it, that they were getting him the ball, involving him, having him. The offense is struggling. We don't have a lot of scorers. You know, maybe Derek Favors is one of the ways to help out with this a little bit. He's not a natural offensive scorer, but he's a great pick-and-roll player. He has a unique skill in his ability to go get the ball and at about 7 feet on the pick and roll. Rudy's really got to get the ball on top of the rim. If he can go get the ball, he can get the ball at about 7 feet and get to the rack. And last year, the Ingles Favors combination was the Jazz best. This year, the pick and roll game with Favors has been bad, frankly. Rubio is better with Gobert than Favors. Mitchell is way better with Gobert than Favors. Ingles is way better with Gobert than Favors. Dante and Derek are the only ones that have kind of combined to connect. So I think the coaching staff is going to try to find a way to engage Derek at a higher level offensively, regardless of whether he comes off the bench as or whether he starts. That just needs to be an emphasis on this team, because the pick and roll game with Derek, particularly Derek and Joe last year, was just fabulous. And the numbers this year are just off. And some of that might not be Derek's. You know, Donovan has not been as good this year. I've done a huge amount of research on that, and we'll get to it throughout the week. But some of the other combinations are things that the Jazz need to that they need to get back to with Derek. That's, for example, here, Rubio and Favors last year were 0.3 points per pick and roll. This year, they're 0.86. Not 0.93, they're 0.86. So that's true. Donovan and Derek last year were 0.91. They're now 0.58. Ingles and Favors last year were 0.94, the best on the team, and they're 0.83. So that's an area where the Jazz need to make an adjustment and get that going. The other thing that happened last night, one, the ball movement was amazing. Without Donovan, the ball movement was amazing, and the biggest thing that's going wrong with Donovan this year is he's not getting assisted shots, and he's not getting catch and shoots. And so when he comes back, hopefully he'll move the ball and realize that the way for him to get going is not one-on-one off the bounce action, but to be getting shots off the actions that the team gives everyone. The other thing that was interesting is, so without Donovan, who has been kind of playing some backup minutes at the point guard, is Howell Neto played, and he was terrific. The steal in the backcourt might have changed the game. You know, Howell, those are the little plays. Howell's got limitations, right? He's 6'1", he's 179 pounds. He gets the crap beaten out of him with his tenacity and how hard he plays and everything he tries to do. And you love him for that. And there's times when he just, frankly, does look as though he's too small out there. But the guy battles and brings an energy. And then offensively, his willingness to push the ball ahead, I think, is noticeable. When he gets the ball and pushes it ahead, it makes a really big difference for this team. And the offensive rating last year with him on the floor was, I think, 11 points better, right? When he was on the floor, I believe we had a 110 offense. When he's off the floor, offensive rating was 1 point better. The defense rating was 6 points better last year. He just has a positive impact. He also can make shots. You know, he's not – his rookie year, he was great. Last year, if my memory's right, actually, by the end of last year, he was 40% three-point shooter. You know, I mean, we're dealing, like, if it's Dante Exum in the corner, it's a 22% shooter and or more, maybe 28. And if it's Neto in the corner, it's a 40% three-point shooter. Like, that kind of matters. But I thought he really played with a tenacity and an energy that this team was lacking. And it was great, like, to his credit. And then the other thing is it brought Dante off the ball at the two, at times playing the three with Alec Burks, and I thought Dante looked a lot more comfortable. Dante doesn't look that comfortable trying to get the Jazz into the offense and is too often dribbling still with 12 on the shot clock while he's trying to situate where everybody is. And so that little switch. Now, I don't know how you do that with Donovan. Are you suddenly now deciding that Neto just plays the backup point guard, Donovan just plays the 2 minutes, and and maybe Dante slides between the 2 and the 3 minutes with AB, and whoever's playing well gets those minutes, and Royce O'Neal comes out of the rotation a little bit? You might go with Howell Neto instead of Royce O'Neal in the rotation for a little while to try to figure out what's going on. Royce brings a lot to the table, though, with his energy. He's just not shooting it. I mean, not like he's not shooting it well. He's just not shooting it. Like, you can see he's reluctant to pull the trigger. He's gotten to the rim a ton, but he's reluctant to pull the trigger in the same energy that he had last year and confidence. Hopefully he'll regain that. So it was great. I mean, I don't have an answer, actually, on how you do that. I think that's a little tricky, but it was great to see it. And then the last part is that the bellwether was good last night. You know, when Ricky Rubio is good offensively, we're a way better team. That's a little, you would like to not be as dependent on that aspect of Ricky's game. When you list the strength of Ricky's games, it's his leadership, it's his tenacity, it's his getting every 50-50 ball, it's making a big play at the right time defensively. It's all of those things are the bellwether to make what Ricky Rubio is. You would rather not have the team be as dependent on him as a shooter to win games. That's not probably where we're going to be at our best if we're relying on that. But boy, when he shoots well, it certainly puts the Jazz in a good position, and he was terrific last night. All right, that is the show for today. I hope you're doing great. We'll have a recap of Indiana, then head out to Brooklyn to talk to you from New York City as the Jazz get ready for the Nets coming up. And then we'll head to Charlotte and we'll head to Miami, and then things will at least calm down a tiny, tiny bit along the way. All right, Jazz and the Pacers tonight. Catch postgame coverage at LockedOnJazz.net. Make sure you follow Locked On NBA Net and Locked On NFL Net, two great feeds both on internet and on Twitter. Have a super day.